You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am extremely delighted to announce that Russell D. Moore has been elected as the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Dr. Moore has served at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, where he was serving as vice president for academic administration and dean of the School of Theology. He's an accomplished writer and an able spokesman on critical issues, and he joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. Dr. Moore, hello.
Good to be with you, Brian. Always good to talk to our friends in Oklahoma.
Well, thank you. Congratulations on your new post. You'll be taking this role in June?
That's right.
That's correct. Okay, well, talk about a time where the country is at a critical moment on religious and ethical issues. How does it feel stepping into this post, and what are some of your early reflections on this?
Well, I'm really honored and humbled and excited. I'm waking up every morning right now, not really believing yet that it's true, but excited and glad to be given this this great task and responsibility, and it's something that I think I'm going to thoroughly enjoy pouring my life into.
Now, you are an excellent writer, crystal clear communicator. Your blog, More to the Point, has been linked to from the Baptist Messenger, but what are some of the issues lately that you've been talking about that might even tie into the call in charge of ERLC?
Well, I think there are several issues that are going to be important for us as Baptists and as Christians and as citizens, and one of those is religious liberty.
Yes.
As you know, Brian, Baptists have been at the forefront from the very beginning in calling for freedom of conscience and for religious liberty. That was the case in England, that was the case in Europe, and that was the case in pre-revolutionary America, in which our forebears often were in jail for preaching without a license. And for other things, and who really were the driving force behind convincing men such as Thomas Jefferson and James Madison to include our First Amendment protections in the Constitution. So I think we have to be really vigilant when it comes to religious liberty, not only in the culture itself, but speaking to the larger culture, which means advocating for everybody's religious liberty, not just for our own. Now, we're not at a point where we can say, oh, well, we're the most powerful, we're the most numerous, we can vote protections for ourselves that we don't give to other people. That's not the case, and it wouldn't be right if it were. Instead, we need to advocate for freedom and religious liberty for all people, and to say, we render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but unto God that which is God's. I think that's going to be critically important in the years to come. And then I think those issues of human dignity and human flourishing are going to be critically important, and that ranges from everything from protecting children from abortion, from the downsizing and marginalization of marriage in various ways, from a divorce culture, from all of these ways in which families are being destabilized, and also in advocating for orphans and for immigrants and for racial reconciliation, and to do so not only in the culture outside of us, but most importantly, within our own churches. And so I really feel like my duty as president of the ERLC is twofold. It's to speak for Southern Baptists in the outside culture and in the political arena, but more importantly, it's to speak to Southern Baptists to help to equip us within our own churches to be the kinds of communities that demonstrate the priorities of the kingdom of God. And I believe that starts first internally within our churches, and only then do we speak outside to the outside world.
That's well said, Dr. Moore. Now, you are an author of the book Adopted for Life. In addition to, of course, being a believer, you're a family man as well. Could you talk about that book and also your own family and how God has blessed you in that way?
Well, God blessed us in a way that I would not have asked for, and I did not anticipate. One of the greatest blessings that I've ever had in my life was something that I thought was a curse at the time, and it was years of infertility. Doctor told Maria and me that we would never be able to have children. I chuckled at that the other day when I was going to one of my five sons' birthday parties. but what happened was, through that process, the Lord prompted us to do something that we probably would not have ever thought to do, and that is to pursue adoption. And through that process, he just taught us so much. He taught us about what it means to be the adopted children of God through the gospel. He taught us about the suffering of orphans in this country and around the world, and the larger issue that's everywhere in Scripture about showing mercy and justice to the orphan and to the widow and to the sojourner. And so through that whole process, God reshaped and reoriented my thinking and kind of dragged me along kicking and screaming until I was able to see that. And so I think that was a great blessing.
That's a wonderful testimony. Now, you highlighted on some issues earlier. Of course, at the time of this broadcast, the nation is in a large debate about marriage. But amid the backdrop of Easter week, could you talk about, Dr. Moore, what the cross means to our culture and how upholding Christ can be transformational?
Well, I think in several ways. I mean, the first way is to recognize and know that because of the cross and the empty tomb, that means that there is no one who is unredeemable. And so as we're talking with our neighbors about really contentious issues about marriage and life and liberty and what these things mean, we're not talking to our enemies or to our opponents. The Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So our dialogue with people who disagree with us ought to be the kind of dialogue that seeks to persuade, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, pleading as though Christ were pleading through you, be reconciled to God. So we ought to have a gospel focus and recognize that every single one of us, we're not more moral or more righteous than the outside world. We're crucified and we're raised from the dead in Christ, and that same gospel power can do the same for anybody.
Amen.
And anybody with whom we're talking to. And that also, I think, frees us from this persistent need to be proven right, which I think one sees in American culture all over the place, from the cable television shouting talk shows to talk radio to Facebook debates to family reunion dinner tables, in which we've got this need to, I want to be not only right, but I want to be seen to be right. Well, as the people understand the cross, as Jesus was hanging on the cross for us, the people were saying, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. And he didn't do it. He just hanged there on our behalf and poured out his own blood because he was confident and he knew that at the resurrection he would be vindicated by his Father, and that's the approval that he needed. And I think if we rest in that, if we recognize and know we may be persecuted, we may be criticized, we may be marginalized, I don't know what lay ahead for us as Christians in the future, but regardless of all of that, what more can happen to us than to be executed under the curse of sin and death and to be raised from the dead in Jesus Christ? That's what's happened to us. And so that ought to give us a kind of calm confidence. Doesn't lessen our conviction any, but it gives us the same sort of confidence that Jesus had when he went before Pilate. And he spoke prophetically and he spoke truthfully, but he wasn't scared. He said, you don't have any authority that wasn't given to you by my Father who is in heaven. I think we ought to have that same sense of calm tranquility, understanding and knowing we're not the losers in the script of history. The arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice, Martin Luther King Jr. said. I think that's true. And I would also add, the arc of history is long, but it bends toward Jesus. And since we believe that, that ought to give us a sense of confidence and not a fear.
Amen. We're talking to Dr. Russell Moore, who will be taking over as president of the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Now, here in Oklahoma, how could we best pray for you and support you in this transition and time as you take this leading role?
I really appreciate that question, Brian. I'm so thankful for Oklahoma Baptist and for the friends that we have there. I think the primary way is to pray for my family as we make this transition together, that this would be a great adventure for us together, and that the Lord would keep us close to one another and close to Him, and that you would pray for me for faithfulness to Christ, that I would be faithful to Him, and that He would, by the Spirit, enabled me to balance all the things that I need to balance right now. I'd be very, very grateful for that.
Well, we surely will. And Dr. Moore, I want to thank you for coming on today. And I want to congratulate you once again on behalf of Oklahoma Baptist, that we are very proud that the cream truly has risen to the top, that God has prepared you for this moment of service and spokesmanship. And we just want God's blessings on you and your family.
That's extraordinarily kind. I really appreciate that. And I'm thankful.
Blessings to you. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.